Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Are we podcasting?
Are we podcasting?
Right now? We're podcasting.
Okay, let's.
We're excited.
We're excited, but we got to get past the a little bit of. Thank you for coming to our meeting. We'd like to make the minutes of the meeting and say, please follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
Follow us on. There's two. There's an I'm Mom So Hard podcast Instagram. There's our regular OG Instagram.
That's right.
We're on Facebook. We're on TikTok. We're on Threads. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I've been doing a lot of business over there that, by the way, we're getting into a commodities trading.
Yeah, I'm like, what are we doing? Are we on LinkedIn? I don't know. Well, can people hire us for like admin work?
I have a bone to pick with some of you listeners. You have not been reviewing. We need your reviews.
Listen, reviewing really does help us a lot. So at that point, we'd like to say, review us kindly.
Yes.
Like, you know.
Say we're pretty. Which some of you do. So you're listening.
That's nice.
That's really nice. But like, just go in there, give us a review, tell your friends, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we do appreciate it. And now let's get into the good stuff. Okay.
Okay.
You guys, we were going to do, we had a plan.
True story.
Our podcast today was going to be about the importance of follow through, which I have a lot to say about that because I am now wearing Invisalign for the 15th time, which I lack follow through. But
hey,
so if I'm lispy,
you're not alone in that. Part of Invisalign's ad is not, hey, this is easy to commit to.
Can I tell you the truth? I went in and I have been dealing with Diego on a personal basis for so many years that when I first met him, he was a beginning dental school and he is about to graduate and become an actual dentist.
Oh.
So he is telling me that from this point on, I can come in and see him as a regular dentist as opposed to a hygienist.
I'm looking for one.
He's great. His name's Diego.
You give me his info. Okay.
But
we haven't been to the dentist in 7 to 8 years.
We're burying the lead
here. Have I missed a Botox appointment? No.
Never. I know. We're burying the lead that I have had these suckers for so long.
And can I say, I think your teeth are perfect.
They're not.
I know you have one that bugs you.
The one on my one on the bottom of it for like vanity reasons bugs me. But the problem is my left side, they're turning. So they just want to like create space. I know.
Give us one more thing, aging.
I know.
Really?
I'm like, oh, so my teeth are going to go from being on the side to being like that weird, like Beetlejuice character where all the teeth are in the front.
Shrek, you guys,
I know.
With this old age.
I'm going to end up a lizard.
It's too much.
It's too much. And I'm like, fine, let's try the Invisalign again. But they have come so far in the long amount of time that I've had
it's
them.
It's been about 5 years.
That literally it started out feeling like I was wearing like those things that like football players wear on their mouth guard to this being like seamlessly along my teeth. Like the little chemistry of Invisalign has changed. I've been doing it for so long.
Tell me the truth. Should I get Invisalign? Because my teeth have bugged me for a long time. Actually,
if you did, your correction would come very quickly.
But I have a gap in between my front teeth when they're straight.
It would do it. Like that, and by that, I mean 3 years.
But say I wore them under the recommended schedule. How much time are we talking?
If you did it the regular time, a year. If you did it the not a recommended time, like me, who my kids are like, we found your Invisalign on the street.
Because I always call this my snaggle tooth.
You have perfect teeth. You do. Agreed.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, but you obviously don't over scrutinize my photos like I do because
we're all
I can
zooming
see
in.
Is this walrus situation that comes in when I'm shot from the left side? But I have to tell you, I started following Jewel on our Instagram, you'll notice. So she says she's taken a lot of shit for her snaggle teeth and she does like zoom ins on her Instagram.
God bless her.
She's just got balls
and
steel.
And there was
so
rumor
much.
That her and Kevin Costner were. And I was like,
really?
Ooh.
I'll watch that
now,
all day long.
He says they're just friends, but there is a twinkle in his eye. Oh,
How did they hook up?
And who cares?
She's single. She's like, she's
in
on
her
the
band.
Mend. Yeah. God.
Kevin Costner and a little outside campfire. Speaking of, have you cracked the second book of ACOTAR yet?
Let me go into the mom box to follow up real quickly.
Okay.
I got to tell you right now, I feel like such a fool because after we did the episode on Romanticy, I was got a lot of message, a lot of feedback from you ladies, a lot of advice on
really
softcore lesbian porn. Just keep sending it. So, yeah. I mean,
ladies, we are impressed, but yeah. Women are into it, and it's filthy.
I'm loving it.
Filthy.
We got many private messages, and I will tell you, to begin, I was very confused because I will remind you, I bought the second book. I didn't start with book one because I heard it wasn't saucy enough. But so everybody kept saying ACOTAR, and I was like, what the fuck?
A Court of Thorns and Roses. Come on.
I figured it out yesterday, Kristen. I was like, ACOTAR? What is like Avatar? What is that? Is this like
I have to say I did the same thing. And even with knowing the acronym, I still can't get the name right. I'm like, it's a thorn and a rose and a car.
But I got support. Okay. So Marie.
So many long messages about this damn book series, you guys.
ACOTAR was not sexy. The next few books are unhinged in bold font. Skip the Christmas one. Court of Frost or whatever.
Fairy Portland.
Hey, how much banging can you reasonably have in a Christmas book? Right?
I don't know, but if that book exists, jingle bell it over here,
that's
baby.
Right. Okay. The last one is 2 asterisks wild. Also, Fourth Wing, which we've got a lot of messages about,
too. Is that in the same series?
I don't know.
I think it is.
Do you know?
I think it is. Oh, it is?
A Fourth Wing is hoping. Okay. So good to know. Okay.
I think that's the one my sister is talking about. A Fourth Wing. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. No problem. And I was hoping it was another series.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm going to like speed through this series because the books are like 1,200 pages each, it feels like, but it's okay. Takes 80 pages to get into something, but damn, all caps. It also feels a little less full of itself, if that makes sense. The characters are a little more grounded and of this world. Makes more sense when you read it. So that's our next series.
Okay. Book culture right now is having a minute. This is all I'm going to say about it because I can't wait to talk about what we're going to talk about. There are all these cities and like smaller cities that are doing these like giant book reads where you can take your book and there's no phones and you have just like either a giant park or an old library.
Oh, everybody's reading at the same time.
Everybody's reading at the same time.
Out loud reading.
Right.
Oh,
so
that's
like,
fun.
I think it's so cool because I'm so into getting rid of the phone.
I just,
sometimes some of this research hits me harder than others. And there was this scientist who was saying that like people who have their phone within distance and they're doing some version of studying or writing or whatever, their productivity is like at a 30 or 40%.
Right.
But if the phone is literally not in the same room with you, you are at a 70 or 80%. And I can't tell you when I realized how often the phone is next to me, how quickly I needed to go, I got to go put this in another room.
Yeah.
I'm always worried that there's going to be a call that comes in, but I'm like, I'm on my computer. If Jen needs me or my kids need me, it's going to come through.
Yeah.
But I really did realize how good it feels to take my phone and put it in the other room and grab a damn book.
It is so freeing because my husband doesn't ever put his phone on silent. It's always at least buzzing. And I'm like, if there is an emergency, I can be gotten a hold of. But there are times where I need to focus. Right?
I agree. And like, I'm a very distracted person. So if it's like bing, boom, bing, boom. And even seeing the light of it go off, other people's light of it go off. I've really, in this last couple of weeks, I've been like, for every time you want to grab that phone, grab your damn book.
I'm going to put it over here.
Okay.
So I can
you know, me too.
Because
we all know my mom will call. Well, no, I need it because I need it for these references. Okay.
Okay, let's get into it, you guys. I can't even wait to talk about this.
Karen Reed.
We have not talked about this. We've been holding it until we could do it on this podcast.
Yes, I highly recommend going back and listening to our very uneducated first at-bat.
We are not scientists, detectives.
I'm going to say this. We were pretty spot on.
Right?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to just say, maybe we couldn't, the referential wasn't there, but the instincts of the case were there.
100%.
And we are talking about the Karen Reed case.
It feels so logical to me.
Yes. So Karen Reed was accused of hitting and leaving her boyfriend, Tom O'Keefe, who is a beloved Massachusetts police officer, who is a kind person, who adopted 2 children after his sister died of cancer and to raise them himself. I at no point want to put any light on him that isn't positive because that guy was, everybody loved him. Yes. His family loves him. He was the guy that like always photobombed everybody. And may I say, and I don't mean any disrespect, just a handsome gentleman.
Handsome dude. They were a good looking couple.
And so Karen Reed was accused of backing into him basically with force and intention and hitting him and leaving him in a blizzard and then driving away.
Yeah.
So then when she comes back to the scene, she goes and gets a couple friends. They come back. She finds him and she's like, did I hit him? I hit him. Did I hit him? And they took that as somewhat of a confession. She's overwhelmed with grief. She calls her dad. She's like, oh my God, I can't live without him. I can't live in this life. Dad calls and has her put in psychiatric
hold. Yeah.
Two doors down from where they bring Tom O'Keefe's body. They declare him dead at the hospital. And she's literally two doors down going through the most incredible grief.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's an investigation and they believe that she did this intentionally. And she is charged with a bunch of things, but mostly murder. The first trial is a mistrial.
Yeah.
With a mistrial, it means that nobody can come to a verdict. They don't feel like the case has been represented well. It's kind of thrown out of court. So then they go.
Everybody has to agree that she's guilty.
Yes, it has to be
across the board. One person disagrees, it's hung jury.
And it was a case of conspiracy and question marks and poorly handled by the Massachusetts police officer.
We probably talked about this before.
Oh boy.
Ad nauseum, but there's just a couple things that I can't, always in like every case, there's a couple things that don't sit well with me in.
You know, this, I want to make sure, I think it's okay. Michael Proctor is his name.
She did the research, you guys. She's going to say a few things that are smart. I'm just going to talk.
No, we're going to talk from our gut.
Okay.
Okay, this is the second trial, okay? So she's on for a second trial, and they really look at the scratches on his arms. They are not indicative of a scrape from
like a dog scratch.
They're a dog scratch as opposed to something from an animal. They can't say for sure, but the way that he died, it doesn't look like he's been hit by a car. It looks like he died from somewhere. They said it was a place where he was warm and then he was brought outside.
Because there were a couple of really badass ladies that were like testimony who said like, if you have a scratch and you're dead, like if you get hit by a car, those scratches don't go to heal.
No.
If there is any like redness to them, like your body's trying to heal, it happened when you were alive.
Right. And also bruising after impact when you are dead, they become really black.
Yeah.
And like your body's no longer producing the oxygen that it needs to like heal the body.
Yeah.
So the investigation is so crazy to me on the first round. They collected evidence in solo cups. Anyway, they retry her. But in this moment, this case gets so much publicity that she becomes this sort of celebrity. She's got people that are like really like supportive of her. And they're like, free Karen Reed. This is a conspiracy by the police. We don't know what happened to Tom, blah, 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 blah. But the thing that really starts to irk me, which is different because I was such a pro Karen Reed person on the first case, the thing that's really bugging me about this second case, where I texted you and I was like, I don't know. Like, I felt like there was a little bit too much leaning into how popular she was. I didn't like that. I didn't like that the people that were for Karen Reed were screaming at Tom O'Keefe's mother and family. Yeah. It really bugged
me. All of that makes me uncomfortable because at the end of the day, like,
somebody died. Yeah.
And what bugged me though in that first trial, which I think is why she just has so much like support.
Yeah.
And people support her and they don't have like the eloquence or the brains to like show their support in the correct way.
Yes.
They are like, you know, vilifying the victims and stuff like that. But during that first trial, it became clear. So they had been at another police officer's house. That police officer's house, his front yard that they found the body in, was a homicide sergeant, right? Mm-hmm. He was like very high ranking. So what he does for a living is secure a crime scene, check for evidence. Mm-hmm. Like that dude didn't take one step outside of his house when he heard there was a dead body in front of it. When he heard it was his friend, and I was like, something is stinky in B-Town, you guys. It is.
I agree.
And I think people just knew something was corrupt or wrong there. And I hope they figure it out. Like, I hope it becomes a federal case. So they get,
I think they need to start looking at who killed the, yeah. like, let's take Karen out of the equation yeah. now and let's go balls out to
find who did it.
Find who did this. Because I believe, let's say she did it. If the Federal Bureau of Investigation puts all of their effort to finding out who did it, it will come out
right.
that it was her. Without, totally. Like, take her out of the equation and let the breadcrumbs lead you to her.
Exactly.
You know, but there's something rotten in Denmark with that house, with the people in the house, with the way the party after the thing,
it's all
of this.
Rotten.
But you want to know, Jen, I still stand by it. What I think truly shows her innocence is those crazy ass phone calls she left
for him messages?
When she was fucking yes. mad. Because I'm telling you, she left 52 super mean, pissed off
yeah.
voicemails. Because that motherfucker.
Where the fuck are you?
Are you fucking, you're yeah. fucking someone else? Like, you go when you don't know.
Yes.
And it never crosses your mind that they might actually be hurt or something
no.
like that. You think, I'm going to destroy you.
Yes.
And the violent anger that she showed in those voicemails after the fact.
She didn't look good.
She gone
guys.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And that's all I need to know. I'm like, nobody would have that wherewithal to leave 52 if they premeditated that murder.
My God, no.
They'd leave and three.
Look.
Where are you? I'm so worried. Not like, you dick.
You know that I love you and I plan on us getting married.
Married. That's everything kinda, I thought we would do. Let's go to Cancun. No, it's like,
no, girl,
you dick, I was in
look.
That cold. Where the fuck are you?
Yeah.
You forgot to pick up my prescription.
Yeah. Can I just like throw shit out
yeah,
and speculate?
Yeah,
why
man.
Not?
This yeah, is, man. This is, we are not, but if. You want us to be? We'll get a certification of some sort.
I have no basis for this. But thinking back to my days of like college, my younger years, when say you were like going to get pot or drugs or something like that after the bars.
Yeah.
You would stop
oh,
by
boy.
Somebody's house
oh,
and somebody runs in.
And comes out. You think maybe it was a little bit of that?
I just wonder, because why else would just he go in? If they were going to hang out there, I mean, I know it was suspicious because, like, the lights went on and stuff, so he went on in to check to see if everybody was there.
That's my biggest question mark. I feel like all of the answers are inside that house.
100%. And they, like, changed the carpets and some shit
yeah,
in that house,
there's
too.
A bunch of weird shit. I always think when people have German shepherds, they're protecting her, you know, not to... Look, it's all speculative, but I do think a German shepherd is a strong choice, and if you're a police officer, they're yeah. trained to handle business.
Yeah.
So it just to me feels like that element of the house with all of those people is the part where the FBI needs to look. My biggest issue with this case and the part where there was no chance she was going to have a fair shot is Michael Proctor, who is
the sexting guy. Were well, they were kind of trying to hook up a little bit?
No.
Oh, okay.
He is the police officer who, he sent personal text messages to his friends that were like, she's a C, she's kind of hot, but she has no ass. I hope she kills herself. Are you telling me if a police officer is sending those kind of text messages to his buddies, he's going to like want to collect the information and the data in order to set her free?
He's going to find the information.
He's not neutral. He is inflamed. And that guy, whether he actually did fuck up the case in terms of the outcome, it is just so poor showing on.
Well, again, my second point of things that like really bugged me about it, where I was like, okay, I don't think you do that if somebody is innocent. Like this is like,
right.
is when they messed with the car, they have on video, them messing with the part of the
yeah,
car.
Yeah, his hands were just in too much of this investigation and he was too fired up and pissed off about her that like, whether or not he thought she did it, he didn't like her and she had no shot.
Well, it's one of those cognitive biases.
Yes.
You know, there's like 10 of them and cops are supposed to be trained around it. I mean, it's hard because
yeah.
it's one of their friends. But
yeah.
like, if you want to know the truth, you want to know the truth, even if it's one of your other friends that did it, you know,
yeah.
it's like,
I ached for Tom O'Keefe's mother who was there during all of it. And I just sort of sit next to her and here she is going from wearing this black suit to wearing this like powder blue suit. Like
yeah.
definitely the defense attorney that she had was real slick and like has this like whole social media presence. Like
oh, sure.
he's just that guy that like basically yeah, they were auctioning off dinners with him. There's a lot of ick to her side of it.
Well, for sure.
Which I just,
I had this thought too, and I've never had this thought before, in order to be fair, which is when you do have to retry a case, in the first case, the prosecution has brought forward their best case.
Yes.
They want it done that first time. All defense has had is time to get better at defense.
Yeah.
Prosecution isn't going to find more evidence. You know, if some comes up, great. That's a new trial. That's a whole different deal.
I know. I think it's much harder on the prosecution. And I did think the prosecution had a couple moments that even for me, I was like, oh, like this woman, she wasn't very skilled at being on the stands, but on the stand, but she was talking about when someone goes through a traumatic experience, you kind of can't trust anything coming out of their mouth.
Right.
Because like there have been people that have died and like, from natural causes or from cancer or for, and the bereaved am I saying that right? The bereaved are saying, oh my God, it was my fault. And they're like, the person had cancer. Like, it's not your fault.
I should.
But you're so, you're so full of grief that your body cannot handle the trauma, cannot handle your reaction. So she made the point right after Karen backed, you know, thought she had backed into him when she found him. You can't trust the words coming out of her mouth.
No.
And then the prosecution goes, okay, but what about months later when she's being interviewed on TV? And this state's witness was like,
did she say that on TV later?
Mm-hmm. She just defends herself very well. And the thing about Karen Reed that's interesting is I don't find her likable.
No, she's not likable.
She's not likable. She's like, sort of seems like hard-edged and like kind of curt and like big eyes and like, that thing, but
she's overly honest is the thing, which I
you're almost like, stop.
You're making yourself sound terrible.
Yeah.
But she's like, I mean, I didn't but know.
This is about evidence, which is so exciting. You're looking past her personality. She was convinced she didn't do it. I do not believe she did it. They did a bunch of tests on how hard she would have had to have struck him in order to have that happen, and she would have been going 75 miles per hour, evidently, in reverse.
Yeah, that was the thing, too. It's like, so she's that accurate on her driving when she's...
I know, she's had 19 cocktails. Yeah. Why, again, to just point out. The part I find so funny is people are like, you know, it's just a totally normal night. Everybody's ready for this storm. Yeah. And we were like, you've done 6 shots in a row of, like, tequila, and then you're drinking doubles.
And it's
what normal night are you guys doing?
I don't understand. But I wonder too, I didn't think of this. Is this pre Zoom app or like Zoom cameras?
No, they have tons of them.
Oh,
but
okay.
But that house obviously didn't have one. But I'm sure they scoured, but sure, there's Ring app or footage of like them being at the bar. There's some of her, but like none of that car. And she did back into his car, which I think is why the taillight, like it's just evidence based, which is so exciting.
Yeah, they have a camera from his house, her backing in and hitting his truck or whatever.
And you know what I liked about her is she just maintained her innocence.
Yeah.
It was like, I did not do this. And that is, I think, why she's free.
I think the documentary helped. It got her all of that support.
Dateline.
Ideally, in a perfect world, like monetary support for them to like fund her defense is one thing, but like support on the outside should not affect the jury, you know? So hopefully.
Well, and I just feel my heart just goes out to Tom O'Keefe's family because it ain't over, y'all.
No,
we have a question mark. We got to solve it. So let's all start a web sleuthing book club that is partly a book, and then we dive into unpacking.
Well,
crimes.
I'll tell you, after, you know, OJ gets the not guilty, let me just say, you would have thought, based on everything he said ahead of the time, that he would then spend all of his resources finding who actually killed Nicole.
That's all you got to know.
That never happened. So if these cops don't continue to look, I think we know exactly who did it. Who's covering shit
up. Because if, you know, it's one of your own, if that's not enough to start an investigation, I don't know what is, because they are very loyal to each other in the police force.
For
it
sure.
is, you know, it's family to them.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. Like, we will see next steps. Let's, guys, I think we're on a mission. Let's throw out carpool.
I think what I'm excited about is like, the world saved a witch from getting burned.
Right.
You know, like
Karen Reed's like,
Whoa, I don't know.
Hold on, I don't want you to call me a witch.
I don't expect you to understand the analogy, the metaphor,
but we really
Karen,
did.
But it's
justice
like
was served.
It does not seem that she did it based on all of the evidence, but she could have gotten thrown.
And what a trial to watch, man. You had the hostile witnesses. That one chick with the terribly fried hair.
Oh, the kid.
The woman, she's like, I don't have any connection to this murder case. I don't know why you're asking me any questions. Do I have to read it? I don't want to read it. What day is it? Saturday. It's my day off. I don't want to be. I'm like, Jesus Christ, can we get rid of her just because she's bringing the mood down to this courtroom?
Yeah, it's
she's
already
the worst.
Sad enough.
And your hair is fried. What have you done to yourself?
Yeah.
You have the worst fried hair I've ever seen. Like, you don't have a diffuser?
In general, I think in a murder trial, you're not going to be dealing with the country's best examples of humanity, right?
A little je ne sais quoi at your best. You've got cameras on you.
Not a lot
you
of
not?
Rhodes Scholars testifying.
Oh my God.
No, I was at the bar that night.
I did 47 shots.
Yeah, normally I do 58 or 60, so I feel like I was pretty clear-headed.
Honestly, if that would have been me, you guys would still be peeling me off of the bar stool currently. They'd be like, she hasn't left the bar since that night.
We've gone
through two court trials, and Kristen is still literally barfing in the bathroom.
We're going to Zoom testimony with Kristen because she's put herself into rehab for the last 3 years.
She's still sending apology text messages to every single person that will have them.
Oh,
that's
man.
Me.
I got the news and I felt like, oh, there's one part of the universe where my butt can relax a little bit.
My left cheek relaxed. My right cheek is ready to run.
Yeah.
Ready to
rock. Somebody's going
to
do it. Let us know.
Let us know if you're into it. Any police officers, prosecuting attorneys, anybody that needs us to investigate. Do we need to get a certificate?
I don't think so, because all you need to do is present us with information. We will give you very
you need us to knock on doors
on them. Oh, that too.
You I'll need go us talk to go to people.
Incognito? Do you need us to go incognito into some bars and talk to people and like wear a wire? I'll do that.
We would be terrible at that. Who would be better? You'd be better.
Here.
You'd be better. I'd
Can
be terrible.
Can you lean into my bosom? While
I'd be
you
like this. I forgot the questions.
Where were you on the night of January?
Excuse me. I need you to talk into this microphone that's in my pants.
Yeah.
It was the only place I thought I could hide it appropriately.
Yeah.
Can you lean lower when you're telling
your face lower to my crotch. Get off the bar. She's sitting on the bar. Why is that? No subtleties. But I think we could probably get some info out of people.
I think we would definitely disarm people and make them comfortable. The problem is they'd be like, if you want to have a conversation with us, you got to drink with us. And then I think we would just talk about ourselves.
Our league. I'd
be like, you know, Garble is so hard. You have to manage so much.
Do you think I should have gone to law school? Because you're not lawyers, because you're a cop, right? Maybe I just would have been a better provider for my family. Am I pretty?
I shouldn't have slept with that guy. I shouldn't have slept. He was really fun. And what's your name again?
Wait for our Cagney and Lacey remake to come out.
Cool. There we go. Cagney and Lacey. That's like my dream job. Am I Lacey? No, I'm Cagney.
Know.
I'm the dark-haired one
I'm the one that wears the fur coat.
Yeah, and I'm the one that's aggressively angry, but does bang her husband a lot, which is not me. But it's more
on
style-wise. Yeah. It's more me.
I feel like it. Kristen does have a hot flash this episode.
You guys, I have a hot flash. I don't want to get too personal, but it has been working.
Okay. Whoa. Wait.
I upped my testosterone and...
Oh, got a new tab in her butt?
I got a new tab. I got a new patch. I got... I'm taking my progesterone regularly. So all those things make me feel so incredibly sexy.
Okay.
So the fact that this guy has busted down the wall of my inability to feel is next level. And I've been into him for so long, but
very
I
curious.
Ebb and flow. I got like kind of forget about him. And then I come back and I'm like, good God,
who is this?
Tom Hardy.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. He's kind of having a minute. Why is that?
He's on a show called Mobland.
A lot of ladies posted
that
we need to watch Mobland.
Okay.
I'm
watching
my
it.
Cup of tea. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's about two crime families. Irish.
By the way, I finished Severance in
No, I didn't.
I need a testosterone tab in my butt to make me ever have sex again because I'm
That's how I felt. My vagina was like sad.
Yeah.
So like I was like, Severance. That seems to be what you should be watching right now, Kristen. Just start the literalest, lowest form of serotonin ever given to a show.
More existential dread than you ever think you're going to need.
I'm already in my head, so I should make this feel sadder.
How about a little Mobland to get my life back
All right,
together?
So it's these two Irish families, and they're like, you know, the Capulets and the Montagues. They're like the, you know, they're fighting each other, and they're Irish. And of course, I find that very attractive.
Yeah, that sounds like your kitchen.
Yeah, right. Harry, Tom Hardy's character, is the family's like, he's like James Caan in The Godfather. He's like the family's like right hand man, but he's not in the family.
Okay.
And the wife is the blonde woman from Downton Abbey, who we love. Oh. The like that marries the guy with the cane.
Yep, yep, yep.
Oh, and they have not Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren is Maeve. She is the Irish. She's married to
Helen Mirren's in it.
Helen Mirren's in it.
Oh my god, this is an all-star cast. Helen Mirren does it for me a little bit too. She's
I'm telling
a beautiful
you,
beautiful woman. Okay,
you get ready for this. She is fucking evil in this, and I love it. And then she's married to Pierce Brosnan. Both of them are aging like fine fucking
He's
wine.
He's in Mobland too.
He's in Mobland too.
Is
I am
this
telling you,
porn?
It's Spank Bank Central.
It's
all
got
right?
murder. It's got
intrigue.
It's got hot people. Good
I mean,
acting.
I do say they could have a little bit more lovemaking. I'm just not sure where that would come in because it's heavy.
Well, let's send
but,
a letter.
You know, it's really dark and I'm into it. Okay. I don't always know what's happening and I also don't care. So Tom Hardy is like the family's like muscle, but he's also, it's this. He is fucking like kind of broken. Like his face has dark, he's like beautiful and kind of mean looking at the same time. And he's got like, His neck is thick and he just looks like he's gonna like just punch somebody, but maybe make love to you passionately. I think about it all the time. Then it's the way he muscles people. He like walks up real close and he's like, "Hey, mate." And then he gives him like a threat. He's like,
"Just that accent.
You're about to make a bad mistake. You need
what
to walk out of here
right now."
I know.
Stop
I know.
It.
I know.
Doing
I know.
Impression
I know.
That's doing
I know.
It for me
it's
right
doing,
now.
I'm,
Stop it.
My
Keep
heartbeat
going.
Is in my
Keep
pants.
Going. What else
it
does
was,
he say?
Just I don't know because I'm like he could be like.
That's all I needed.
It's it.
Kristen gets about 8 seconds into each episode
and
before
like,
she's like,
"Me time," and then 3 minutes later I'm like. Like, relax.
Yeah,
and
let's go CP time.
Yeah, now CP time. Tom Hardy is a filthy bastard, and he loves it. He loves being a filthy bastard. You go back into early interviews with him. He's so over the top. He's like, "I woke up one time next to a man holding a gun, and it was loaded, and I was naked, and he was naked. And I don't know what happened." I was like, "I don't know, but now I got to go to me time again."
I feel like this about, like, a couple of hot celebrity males where I feel like their moms said to them when they were younger, like, "You're a little awkward now, but you are going to like be
don't
a
ruin this for me. Don't
no,
make this an emotional thing."
I feel
thing.
Like he was underappreciated for a long time until he
I
got
think
big.
He was kind of a dick
really?
To be quite honest. He was doing like,
now he's hacking right up my alley.
You know what
okay?
I'm saying? He's, he's Bane. He's like, he's all these. And I've heard that he's difficult and I don't care.
Well,
okay. He is a character and a story in my brain. And that is all that matters. I'm not working with the guy. And if I was, I'd probably get arrested for indecent exposure at some point. I'd be like, "Well, look at my pants around." He does it for me.
Get your
he really
crotch
does
off the bar, ma'am. You're not interrogating
please talk,
Tom Hardy.
Please talk into this microphone, Tom
Just
Hardy.
Just please, I will feel like this is a success if I don't call him Ed Hardy. Like,
don't call him Ed Hardy, but you're not those, off base by calling him Ed Hardy.
It's confusing, right? He wore those t-shirts really big and bad for a long time.
You know he
extra
did.
Extra medium, just extra, ripping his
It looks like a Barbie
long.
Shirt that he peels on. Yeah. Fine.
He had a pair of those like low-cut pants with the bedazzled. That
God,
guy pulled
the,
so
the
much.
True religions with with the big thread. The
girls were just peeling their diesel jeans
God,
off
yes.
of that guy.
Okay,
back
that guy
then,
just
and now.
Is emblematic of a fucking,
he's a
mountain.
Man's man.
It's exactly why I like the mountain in freaking Game of Thrones too. What do I got going?
Yeah, I don't know.
I
that
don't,
one.
It's not sensitivity. I don't want to hear somebody tell me poetry. I want like kind of an asshole. That's why I married Colin Sweeney. I got that in spades. Like
the mountain. I don't. I get
the dog. Is it no? Oh, the mountain was too big. That guy was fun.
You
we
like
never
the
saw
dog,
his face.
The guy with
the dog. The hound.
The hound. Yeah. That one I.
Even with his face.
Go back and watch that series, because who was it who played the Viper? God, that hot dude.
The Viper?
Who gets his...
Well, first of all, Jason Momoa, which was one of our bases.
He played the Red Viper in The Mountain Crushes His Head. Oh, I blew that for spoiler alert.
I've watched that series so many times, but I just fast forward to
that. Isn't it Pedro Pascal or somebody like that who plays the Viper? The Red Viper?
You might be fucking right.
It's somebody that we didn't appreciate.
Also someone I find so, but I'm less insulting about him because he is darling.
Yeah. Are you kidding? Pedro Pascal is the...
He's perfection. But yeah, Tom Hardy is just a filthy bastard. And you know what? We should all be okay with those characters in our lives because we're okay with those characters in our books. Right. I'm not emasculating him. I don't think he's going to hear this and be like, oh, my feelings are hurt.
By the way, I think, ladies, we can agree. We've all been in a relationship with like... a real asshole that just was like a stockbroker or something. That guy had no muscle strength whatsoever.
Yeah.
So you know what? Sometimes
this guy can at least like build something. He can lift something.
Yeah,
I never dated guys that were like financial bros or like if I ever went out with somebody that was like too sentimental, I was like, ugh.
It just I don't think financial bros are sentimental.
But you know what I mean? Like too like what was the word that we used to use? Metro.
Oh.
Me and that guy don't get along.
Yeah.
I had a guy that told me that, like, if I dated him, we'd have to go to the gym four times a week. And I said, we're fucking not dating anymore.
Bye.
Bye.
Why don't you quit tweezing your eyebrows so much?
Yeah, man.
Straight guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have so much goddamn gel in your hair that, like, is upsetting.
Any guy prettier than me, I can't date. Who was it? Did you look it up?
So it was the Red Viper of Dorne.
We didn't know
back then. It was too long ago.
It was so long ago. I forgot that he was in that series. Oh, my God.
And I think there's some pretty good...
I'm going back and watching that immediately.
That too, right?
But see, there is a little part of me that I was like, I'm like, Pedro sitting next to us, I would not say things like this. But Tom Hardy sitting next to us, I'd be like, you've got to know that, like, you're just a pussy machine.
I think we podcasted. Can't top that. Can't top that.
Pioneer.